Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you doing? I'm ready for the best 15 minutes of my week.
You know, I feel terrible because I just feel all of I-65 and I-40 coming to us just a halt as this segment starts.
Yeah, just
bigger than the T-Swift.
Bigger than T-Swift. We should really hold this at Nissan Stadium.
T-Swift gets a thunderstorm. I am a thunderstorm.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Corey, we threw this question out there earlier, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. Other than the obvious of the quarterback position,
yep,
which Titans have the most to prove in 2023, in your mind?
Well, number one is Treylon Burks.
Agreed.
I mean, to me, outside of the quarterback, he is the most important person on this football team in his performance this year and how well this team is going to do, number one. And then I would say number two would be Andre Dillard, Peter Skoronski, whoever that left tackle is going to be. I think, you know, whoever, you know, both of those guys have something to prove. Andre Dillard's got to prove that he's not a first-round bust, and Peter Skoronski's got to prove the same thing.
What one name I threw out, Corey, was Christian Fulton in terms of, you know, proving he can be healthy for a whole season. But also, obviously, I mean, I feel like at the highest level of play we've seen from him, he's a guy who gets an extension this offseason. But I don't expect it because of the lack of availability at times. We know what happened with David Long Jr. Vrabel called both those guys out. But what about him, and how do you foresee that shaking out with him, his deal this season?
Well, you know, when he started last season, he was performing at a really high level, and then he got hurt, and he wasn't quite the same after that. But you're right. It doesn't matter if he comes out and plays 10 dynamite games. If he goes down with another hamstring pull or a quad pull or something, I don't think he's going to be back because, you know, availability is among the most important, and he has – unfortunately for him, not shown the ability to be available for all season. And, you know, look, injuries happen. They do. But, you know, when the same guy keeps getting hurt over and over and over and over again, it becomes, you know, a trend and for whatever reason. And so, yeah, he absolutely, you know, has to show that he can stay healthy. Another guy who's got to show he can stay healthy is Elijah Bolt. You know, we're 2 years in with him. And if he can't stay healthy this year, I don't know that there'll be a fourth.
Corey, you were there for the Ryan Tannehill press conference last week. Obviously, mm-hmm. You know, the second year in a row that we're talking about another quarterback that's been drafted by the Titans at a Ryan Tannehill press conference. But what was just your takeaway from that, and what do you think's going through his mind as he enters into this season with the Titans, knowing what the equation is with Will Levis coming into the mix?
Well, I think he knows he's got a year to show that he's a starter in this league that somebody wants. You know, if he has a huge year, then there's still the chance that the Titans sign him to some kind of extension and he's back next year. But he needs to show that he's enough for somebody else to be the guy. I mean, he is on the last year of his deal. And if the Titans had long-term aspirations for him, they wouldn't have drafted quarterbacks the last 2 years, and he would have an extension by now. Now, does that mean he won't get an extension this summer? I guess not, but after drafting Will Levis, I kind of doubt it. I do think he came into that presser, you know, he came in knowing what to expect, and he cleared a lot of hurdles for himself because he was at camp, number one. So he doesn't have to face that question. And number two, he's not coming off of another playoff loss. And so, you know, he didn't have the adversity to face in that presser that he had in the other ones. He just had to answer more questions about, you know, another young quarterback. You know, I did ask him, you know, Rand said he knows exactly where he stands with the organization. And I asked him where he was, where exactly he stands. And I think I got about a 5-word answer out of it. So, you know, pretty clear he knows this is his last shot.
Yeah. Did you – yeah, no doubt. And Gentry Estes asked him something all about that meeting too, and there was some long pauses in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you That said, I mean, it's not like – so he's – I mean, he knew before the draft, right? I mean, regardless of what they do in the draft, he knew before the draft where things were headed, right, in all likelihood. Yeah. How much do you think the draft itself still disappointed him, though?
You know, I would say that after the Titans took a receiver at 11, I mean, an offensive lineman at 11, he probably had to be feeling pretty good, right? And then day two comes, and you know, not only do they draft a quarterback, they trade up to get him. And so that had to be like, whoa. And not only that, the guy's blonde like me. Wow. So, there's that. But, you know, I think the trade up certainly signifies how badly they wanted Levis here. And, you know, nobody wants to hear that, you know, you're not in the plans. And, if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm pretty confident I can hold off Malik Willis. But now, you know, he's got to hold off someone entirely new. And, again, when they let you get to the last year of your deal, it doesn't look great for the next year. No, I mean, isn't Derrick Henry in the last year of his deal?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Unless he gets an extension this summer, I don't think it looks great for him, you know, for next year. I could be wrong about that, but, you know, that's just generally the way it goes.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, we were talking about this earlier. There's going to be a lot of people when prediction time comes around and we start looking at next season, not very many people are going to be picking the Titans to make the playoffs. And there are some in the national media and think the Titans have a chance to be pretty bad next year.
Yeah.
As currently constructed, what do you make of the group that they have heading into 2023?
I think Todd McShay has them picking fourth or fifth next year in the draft.
Yeah.
Look, if they're starting Will Levis as a rookie, then I can see that. I can. But, I mean, I expect Ryan Tannehill to start. I expect this defensive unit to be pretty good because the front four, if is a big word, if it can stay healthy, I think that front four defensively can keep them in a lot of football games. And I just keep getting back to, can the offensive line come together and just be 50% better than it was last year? Because if it can be 50% better than it was last year, you know, they can run the ball better. They can protect the quarterback a little bit better. And they don't lead the league in three and outs. And they actually can play four quarters of football instead of two. And they've got a chance. And, you know, I continue to believe that Mike Vrabel is in the upper echelon of coaches in the National Football League. And I find it hard to believe that they'll be in that bottom five. That bottom five, a lot of the times, is dictated by injury or by teams that want to be there. I think that's two things that dictate those things quite a bit. And, you know, judging by the Titans' moves, you could say, well, they haven't done anything at wide receiver, which is true. But I still, you know, if they wanted to be there, they would have cut Ryan Tannehill loose. And so I don't know that they want to be there. Do I know that they're going to make the playoffs? No. Do I think that they're a contender if they do? No, they don't have enough weapons. But, you know, I think they can muddle. I think they can muddle around, and in the AFC South, that might be good enough.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah,
well, it does. Everything you were saying there, I was just about to interject and say, yeah, until they cut Tannehill. And then it's like, all right, it's starving for Marvin. Marvin Harrison Jr. But no, I agree. I mean, they're going to be a middling team, probably a low-scoring team, possibly a very good defensive team. We talked earlier today, Corey, if you're going to play that kind of game, you got to be good at place kicker. Mm-hmm. Are you reading things as they really believe Caleb Shudak is the long-term answer?
You know, people are going to hate this. I loved watching that kid kick the football before he got hurt. I mean, he was – you know that game you played when you were a kid where you hit the plastic guy on the head with the helmet on and his leg went forward and went through the upright?
Yeah.
That's what he looked like. It was just like – one step, bang, and you know, it was perfect rotation, and every kick looked exactly the same. And it was that way until he got hurt. Now, he is unproven, without question, and that's a little bit scary. But before he got hurt, I really liked what I saw from him, and I told everyone he's going to beat out Randy Bullock. And I think they wanted him to beat out Randy Bullock. And then when he got healthy, finally, what did he do? He missed one kick. He missed like a 38-yarder in the game.
Yeah.
And but he made like four other kicks. But everybody freaked out because he missed one. And look, Joe and I know, we're old enough to remember back when 75% was pretty standard. It's a much more highly specialized position, and the expectation now is you hit like 95% of your kicks. So, you know, I think that they give him every opportunity to win it. I think you do have to bring in competition without question. But again, I really liked what I saw from the guy before he got hurt, and I would really look at him hard to win that spot.
We're old. Oh my God, you muted myself in the middle of the sentence. We're old enough to remember when Mark Moseley was the NFL's most valuable player for being a really good kicker in 1982.
Yeah, buddy.
I just grew up with
Imagine that.
Remember toe kickers?
Oh, God.
Robbie, did you know that guys used to kick with their toes?
I did know that.
Okay.
It's kind of crazy to think about.
All of them used to do it. I think one of the first ones to start kicking with the inseam, who was it? Was it Tony Franklin? The barefoot guy.
That sounds right.
I mean, I remember when they started doing the soccer style kicking. It was a big deal.
I just know that it would be nice to get inside the 40-yard line or right around the 40-yard line and feel like you have an actual chance to make the field goal. That'd be good.
Yeah, I mean, like Randy Bullock is an okay NFL kicker, but like with the game on the line, no one believes the game is won. Like when Rob Baronis was the Titans kicker. If you were in range, yep, it was going through.
Yep,
there was not much doubt there, and that's the way you need to feel about your kicker.
Corey, you live up to the billing every time. Thanks for being with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Robbie, it has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Seeing you last week was one of the highlights of my week, and I'm just giddy about the rookie minicamp coming up.
Yes, very much so.
All of us feel that way.
Get excited,
thanks, Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
Later.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have a lot to react there from Corey Curtis. I also have some tickets to give away coming up next as well. We'll do all that. This is Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 1025-1063 The Game this Friday for the grand opening of Dunkin' Donuts in Cane Ridge, located at 191 Burkett Commons Avenue. You can enjoy free coffee and other fun giveaways, and we'll be on site from 8 to 10 as well. So looking forward to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Speaking of that, I got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers at First Horizon Park. Coming up this Thursday, a pair of tickets to give away. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers coming up at First Horizon Park this Thursday. Thanks to Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. And the Treylon Burks part of this, we talked about this earlier, which Titans have the most to prove in 2023 outside of the quarterback position. It's hard to overlook Treylon Burks in that conversation. But we had a texter bring this up earlier too, Joe. A lot of guys with lots to prove in 2023. I mean, it's the NFL, so like to a certain degree, everybody's got something to prove every year. It's professional sports. I get all that. But it does feel like the Titans have a lot of guys on one-year deals, got a lot of guys that are trying to make the name for themselves in the league, got a lot of guys that have been here for a while and are trying to hang around and stay either with the team or in the league as a starter. There's a lot of different ways. A lot of different scenarios this year where, you know, if things play out a certain way and guys play well, this could be a huge year in their career as to what it means for them in the future. And if they don't, and if they continue to get hurt or don't play well, this could go the other way for a lot of guys too. So I think more so than normal, a lot of kind of different ways it could go with players that have either been brought in this offseason or players that have been here for a while on the roster in terms of their job security moving forward.
Yeah, and, you know, like you do what they did in free agency. this is very much, I think probably more than a lot of teams, it's a bunch of – a lot of guys in this team who are basically just trying to prove that they are full-time starters in the league and can be good full-time starters in the league. So that's, you know, that's kind of what and look, you like Rand Carthon's experience and past with some of these players. Obviously, he believes that they are that.
Yeah.
But that's also – that also brings the pressure. I mean, Dillard in particular – look, you get beat out by a really good player. It happens. You don't. You're not living up to your draft status. But sometimes, a team just happens to have a really good player who's just not quite as good as a starter in a number two spot. The Eagles seem to be just incredibly loaded all over their roster with good talent. So, is he a starting left tackle in the NFL?
It's a great question.
We're gonna find out.
Caleb and Gallatin on the text line says, "Do you guys know of any wide receivers on the free agency side that the Titans can go sign? I know getting a star wide receiver isn't likely, but do you guys know of any solid ones that are still available?"
We've gone through the list many times.
We brought up some names earlier. I mean, look, Kenny Golladay is available. Jarvis Landry is available. Sammy Watkins is available. Julio Jones is available at the moment. Byron Pringle is available. I mean, there are some guys that have played some good football in the league. T.Y. Hilton is available.
The name recognition's great.
Yeah.
The name recognition out there is terrific. And I think sometimes people get hung up on that, but
problem is,
I'd say almost all those guys, if not all of them, are well past their best football.
Well, I think all of them are well past the best football. The question I have is, like, do any of them still have good football left in them, right? Yeah. Does Kenny Golladay have good football left in him? Does Jarvis Landry have good football left in him? I mean, Golladay and Landry specifically. Galladay's 29, Landry's 30. I mean, Julio, I think we know at this point, his career may already be over. If not, it's certainly trending towards being over at some point pretty soon. You know, T.Y. Hilton's 33. He'll be 34. You could have told me he was 48, and I said, yep, sounds about right.
33 blows my mind.
It blows my mind,
too. He joined the NFL when he was 12?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's T.Y. Hilton out here, fresh out of sixth grade.
I mean, come on. I mean, half his passes were caught from Peyton Manning, weren't they? That's how I remember it.
But the problem is, I mean, that's why they're in the spot they're in. I mean, you could go the former Titan route at this point, and you could bring a Marcus Johnson back, or you could bring Cody Hollister back into the fold, but none of those guys are really changing the equation in the wide receiver room.
No, I would not think so. I mean, Golladay is confusing to me because for pretty, you know, bad Lions teams, which is the default of the Detroit Lions, he was explosive. His last year there, he was really good. Yep. And then I don't know what happened to him with the Giants. Only 29 without knowing exactly what happened. I think there'd be some reason to talk about him.
Yeah. I mean, his. So the last time he played a full season in Detroit was 2019, and he had 65 catches, 1,190 yards, and 11 touchdowns, and it's pretty darn good. And then 2020 came, he was hurt, he only played in 5 games, and then he signs with the Giants, and he has 37 catches his first year for 521 yards, no touchdowns, and last year he played in 12 games, only started 4, had 6 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, just written out of the offense. Now, how much, you know, is it injury stuff that accumulated for him, or is it something else? I don't know. But the fact that he's out, I mean, look, the bottom line is anybody who's out there now, there's probably a lot of reasons that they're out there right now. So, you know, to me, it's a trade.
If the Titans have any interest at all, like do they have interest in adding to the wide receiver room? I mean, that's, we talked about this last week. Are the Titans too casual in their approach at wide receiver? And, you know, we got a bunch of different responses on that. And some people say they are. Some people say, well, they've tried some things. It just hasn't worked out for the Titans at this point. But, like, do the Titans like, if you're going to trade for somebody without somebody unexpectedly becoming available, I mean, who are some guys that come to mind? Like, Hopkins is the big one because the Cardinals aren't expected to be very good, and there's been a lot of noise about him being traded. You brought up Mike Evans. I think that's certainly worth thinking about as Tampa Bay goes through transition right now with Baker Mayfield. But, like, other than those two guys, like, what's the market really like right now for wide receivers out there that are that could really change the equation via trade for the Titans? And are Vrabel and Carthon, with what they've done this offseason, are they interested in bringing in somebody who maybe is closer to 30 or on the other side of 30 at this point in their career at wide receiver? I don't know.
I mean, Liam says, aren't most of those guys better than our current number two? In terms of achievement, yes. In terms of are they better right now, I don't know, man. I'm not sure that they are. You know, again, this is why are they out there right now? At this moment, why are they out there? John says Will Fuller's available. There's a guy we've talked about a fair amount over the years.
Could get him. Andrew on the text line says the Titans haven't cared about finding a receiver for 3 months. Why would they start now? Run, 3rd and 16, punt. This from Andrew on the text line, who does not have a very optimistic view of the Titans right now.
I mean, it's not like the -4 on each run. Jeez. It's not going to be that bad, is it? It's more like run, 3rd and 9, punt. Come on, Andrew.
Yeah, let's get with it. Maybe 3rd and 8.
Yeah, gee whiz.
Thing is, though, like it's the 1st and 10, and then it's 2nd. Like you try the pass, it's incomplete, and then it's 2nd and 10. And it's like, oh, crap, we got to run. 2nd and 10, let's hand it off. New offensive coordinator, though, so we'll see.
A lot of 2nd and 10 runs.
A lot of 2nd and 10 runs.
With Todd Downing. Sometimes it worked. At least they pass on 1st down some. Sometimes.
That is good. Bottom line, though, to answer Caleb's original question, not a whole lot out there at wide receiver. And we talked about that at the first part of free agency anyway, but you know, it goes back to the discussion we started the show with. How do Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel view this team? It's interesting because it feels like they're planning for the future with Levis and some of the other moves they've made. You can draft Skoronski, all those things. And also you're trying to be as good as you could be right now with Tannehill and Henry and all that stuff, you know, addressing the offensive line that they've done this offseason. But there's still just such a gigantic hole with this roster that there's so much pressure on Treylon Burks. Like Treylon Burks, number one, has to be healthy and has to be available. And number two, pretty much has to be great for this Titans team to be a true factor in the AFC, in my mind.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier, like, he's basically got to be A.J. Brown. I mean, he's not the same. He's not going to be him. He's not the same kind of player.
He's not.
He doesn't have the quick feet that A.J. Brown has. But I do think that the ability is there to be a really good receiver in the NFL. And it's got to be – I mean, he's got to be beyond thinking about the pressure and with the mindset of dominating. What's so funny?
James on the text line says, the 3 stars on the Titans helmet stand for 3 and out. That's from James on the text line.
Wow.
Different meaning to the tri-star, I guess.
Yeah.
Going 3 and out, baby.
I sense a little snark today.
There's not a whole lot. The takeaway from the text line today, not a ton of optimism about the Titans offense heading into this year, which I understand. It's hard to be optimistic about it. Look at that wide receiver room right now.
Doesn't mean you can't win 17-16.
Doesn't mean you can't win that way. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Take more of your thoughts as well on our phone and text line. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night at 635 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds come home to take on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Liam responding to you on the text line, Joe, and says, those receivers are available because other NFL teams have real receiver rooms. We don't. Probably rank somewhere in the middle 50s out of 32. That's from Liam on the text line.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the Titans definitely have a strong case for 32. And that's true. But I just don't get excited by any of them. Could any of them help a little bit? Maybe, yeah. Again, Galladay is kind of intriguing. But it's been a while since he's been a productive, effective receiver in the NFL. Chris Moore is really, if you want to look at like production and where he is in his career, I mean, even though he doesn't have the achievement of those guys in his career, I'd probably feel better about him than those guys. And he's on the team. He is on the team.
He is on the team.
So there you go. Chris Moore, NWI. One of those two guys I think will be on the outside across from Treylon Burks. Yeah. Which I know doesn't excite anybody, but I don't think any of those guys are an upgrade. And if they were, maybe one of them would be here.
James on the text line says, Galladay might have another 1,000-yard season in, but if he can't block, hard pass in all capital letters, and tags it head coach Mike Vrabel.
That's right, James. You better get on board.
Well, look, I'm shocked. I'm blown away that Cody Hollister's still out there. Titans hadn't brought him back yet and said, you know what? We like you. Get out there and block, Cody.
Well, you don't know that he won't be back.
And there was one route. I can't remember what game it was last year, but there's one route. I look like 12 yards down the field. I'm like, man. Cody Hollister's still blocking. The ball's in the air. 12 yards down the field. What are we doing out there?
He also made some big plays last year, by the way. Just saying.
Did he?
Yeah. Remember, like, early on, he had, like a 40-yard catch. He was uncovered, but
– okay.
But
they caught the ball.
He made the play. Yeah. Andrew says, Titans fans are so excited about these new PSL prices. They won't spend $1,100 on a receiver, but they want $12,000 each for my PSLs. But, hey – at least soft Jared won't get hot or cold at a football game. I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
The indoor stadium, I guess?
Oh, because – oh, okay. Is it because Jared's in the box now? He's in a luxury suite, or that's a reference to the new stadium? I don't know.
I don't know.
But $12,000 each. Is that right?
That's a lot. That's a lot. Wes from Hermitage says, is Bishop Sankey not available? I'm sure we could use another running back. Who needs wide receivers nowadays? Will be fantastic on – no offense this year.
No fence.
No in front of it. I like
no
it.
No fence.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
People are very upset.
I get the frustration. Now, Caleb, I think there is something to this. Maybe Titans are banking on the O-line being able to pass protect for longer than half a second before Tannehill gets hit. Yes. We do have some good playmakers once the ball's in their hands. Still like to add an experienced receiver, if possible, before the season starts. Yeah, look, Chig. Look, I mean, if you took everything, okay, Chigakonkwo, maybe the rookie Wiley will be a nice target too. Burks. I think you should count Phillips as someone who can be an effective weapon. And then Spears to go with Henry.
Yep.
It's not the worst overall collection of weapons. If the offensive line's good with Tannehill, it doesn't have to be awful. But yeah, there's that gaping hole at the other outside spot at receiver.
Well, it just all comes down, it comes back to Burks, right? Like if there's so much that has to go right for the offense to get – like, you need the offensive line to be unquestionably better than it was last year. And really, that's not – that shouldn't be the bar. Like, you need the offensive line to be in the upper half of the league. Like, in order to compete with this roster, you need it to be a really good offensive line, give your quarterback more time to hold the ball and make decisions back there. And hopefully that translates into some more people getting open. But really, I mean, that comes back to Burks too. Like they need Burks to be able to be the guy that can stretch the field, that can go up, make contested catches, which we saw him do a couple of times last year, which I thought was really encouraging. But also to be able to catch the ball and use some of his ability after the catch, which that was the one part about Burks when he was in there last year that I wanted to see a little bit more of, was the getting the ball quickly and let him make some plays after the catch. We saw him do that at Arkansas, and you know he did it a couple of times last year, but battling through injuries the whole time. Like, you want to see Treylon Burks get the ball quickly and make some plays after the catch this year. Like, he's got to take a gigantic step. He just does.
Right. And yeah, look, I can't project him as a wide receiver one, a real number one receiver. But if he's a good wide receiver two, you can make do with that if you have another one.
Exactly.
But you don't.
Well, you know, I think it's too early to say whether or not he's going to be that guy eventually. Like, you know, last year didn't go to plan. He was hurt a lot. You got to get healthy and all that stuff is number one. But, I mean, look, TD's brought it up 1,000 times with us. The Green Bay game was really encouraging for Treylon Burks last year. He made another big catch in the Jacksonville game at home where he's down the field making a contested catch. Like, there was enough last year that I saw from him where I said, you know what, he's going to be a good player. Now, what degree of a good player is he going to be? Like, I feel comfortable about him if he can stay healthy. He can be productive for you. But the question with Burks is not can he be good. It's can he be a legitimate number one wide receiver for you? And I don't think we know the answer to that yet.
Yeah. And he came in automatically with unfair expectations,
right,
considering that they moved A.J. Brown and then took him. Here's the A.J. Brown replacement. It was never fair. But at the same time, it also was not great that he showed up in the shape he showed up in last spring. How much of a red flag is that? I mean, you hope that's sort of just a learning experience, and now all the discourse that followed that and everything like that serves to motivate him. We'll see.
We'll see. And if it does, let's say it works out that way, and he comes in, he's in great shape, and he does look like he can be a number one wide receiver for this team. And maybe it's not what A.J. Brown was by the time he left here with the Titans, but he can be a number one quality wide receiver for the Titans. Well, what does that do for this team if that's what he is? Like, how much of a difference does that make on the field if that's what he is this year? You'd still love to have somebody else to go with him. I get that. But if that's what he is and you have Derrick Henry close to the same level as Derrick Henry has been, the offensive line is better. I mean, him being really good for the Titans next year totally transforms what their offense can be. As to, we're sitting here today on May the 8th looking at it and wondering how they're going to score a touchdown this year.
Yeah, I mean, it would help a lot. There's a best-case scenario with that and a lot of other things. And again, go back to the offensive line. I mean, do you think that Corey Curtis, like if they're 50% better, that's what Corey Curtis said. That's a huge number, but boy, were they bad last year. Is that enough?
I mean, they might be 25% better by just like throwing a body out there where Dennis Daly was.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'll put it to you this way. I don't know what Andre Dillard is. I don't know if he's going to be a good left tackle. I don't know that he's going to be a left tackle of the future for the Titans, and they've just found something from the Eagles that the Eagles shouldn't have let go. I don't know. I have a hard time believing he's going to be worse than Dennis Daly or as bad as Dennis Daly was last year.
Well, I mean, if it's even close, you got real issues.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if he is, it'll be Skaronski a left tackle then.
Right. So I say that to say, not that that should be the bar, but if Dillard, I think clearly is going to be an upgrade on Dennis Daly, I mean, that automatically improves what that offensive line was to end last year, automatically.
Yes.
Regardless of if he's a star or not.
But, yeah, I totally agree. But given the other limitations, how good does it have to be for them to have a reasonable National Football League offense?
It's going to have to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look, they're going to run the ball. They're going to build their offense on the running game. So that's an interesting question, too, of like how good is this line going to be run blocking? Because that, as we've discussed many times, pass blocking, run blocking, two different jobs for an offensive lineman. How good is this line going to be run blocking? I don't know. I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of Daniel Brunskill tape from San Francisco. How good is he going to be as a starting offensive lineman? How good of a run blocker is Andre Dillard? I feel good about Skaronski based on what I know about him coming in, and especially if he's playing guard. But that's obviously going to be a big part of what they do. We talk about pass blocking, and that's what most people discuss the offensive line and their role for. But this team's going to hand the ball to Derrick Henry a lot. They got to be good for run blocking too.
Got a fullback at center, so
yeah, you do. Maybe a
what does that
slot
mean?
Receiver?
Yeah, who weighs more, Aaron Brewer or Kyle Phillips? I'm not sure.
Step on the scale. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. Get into some playoff action around the NHL and the NBA. And get to something happening tonight that at one time we thought may have been a huge deal in this city as well. We'll get to all that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Make sure you tune in to Stillman & Company today at 5 o'clock for a special programming announcement. Looking forward to that.
No, Jared's not getting fired.
Every time we say that, there's at least like five texts that roll in.
What's it mean?
You guys firing Jared?
And the people who say that would also then be like, what will I do with 4 hours of my day that I listen to every word Jared said?
Exactly.
You know it's true. Gentry Nashville brings up a point. The TD brought up Darnell Mooney from the Bears. And this is a good way to think about it. Like TD said, look for teams that maybe have a younger receiver where they've kind of built around him and kind of pushed him down the depth chart. Gentry says, apologies, I've already mentioned, but love to kick the tires on Rashad Bateman, what his role is with the Ravens now. I still feel like he needs to be important in that offense. I mean, I like what they've done with Zay Flowers, and we'll see with Odell Beck. You know, I mean, I think that's a worthwhile risk for them.
Yeah.
And obviously got him excited.
A lot of money.
Yeah. But I don't know. I still feel like Bateman, if they think he's good, is probably a part of their future. But that's I don't hate the idea. Like, that's kind of – that idea – I actually like – I mean, obviously a Mike Evans or something like that at 29 would be great, even though the number is huge. But, like, something like that makes a lot more sense to me than going out and, you know, bringing on Jarvis Landry or Julio right now.
Right. Well, he had – I remember this because he was on my fantasy team last year. He had four catches for 108 yards against the Dolphins last year. And I was like, okay, Rashad Bateman, second year, kind of settling in here. And that was pretty much it. He had, had nine more catches the rest of the year, and then he was hurt. So
I was going to say, because he was hurt.
But he got, he played a couple games after that, missed a couple games, then played a couple more games, and he was out the rest of the year. So it's hard to know exactly what he is right now just because he's a rookie. And then last year in his sophomore season, I love how I use that term in the NFL, but his second year, he was hurt basically the whole year.
Yeah. It's one of those guys, if you watch enough of him in college, like there's no way he's not going to be good in the NFL. But it does happen quite a bit, actually.
So maybe that's, whether it's Bateman or somebody like that, that's an area you could explore if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans. So we'll see what they do on the wide receiver front. It's going to be really interesting to figure that out. And if they don't do anything, it's going to be really interesting to see how that wide receiver group comes together at training camp.
Then
what they look like.
Yeah, then you know they're faking.
Yeah, you may know that they're faking at that point. Joe, NBA playoffs back in action tonight. Game 2 of the Heat and the Knicks tonight. Heat up 2-1 in that series. Game 4. Game 2 in Miami. Game 4 tonight as well between the Warriors and the Lakers. Lakers up 2-1 in that series and a blowout win for the Lakers in Game 3. Big win for Golden State tonight.
Lakers will be up 10 in the second quarter. I will tweet, we're seeing the end of the Warriors dynasty, and they'll come back for a ripping victory, hopefully.
Panic in Toronto right now. The Maple Leafs down 3-0 to the Florida Panthers.
That's a real shame. That's tough.
So, man. I said this last week, they win their first-round series in overtime down in Tampa Bay, and it looked like a Stanley Cup celebration out there with Sheldon Keefe losing his mind on the bench and Kyle Dubas going nuts up there, general manager of the Leafs. And now they've dropped 3 in a row.
Boston loses. The path is open.
They were the betting favorite to win the Stanley Cup heading into this series.
Amazing.
And now they're down 0-3 on the verge of getting swept by the Florida Panthers.
1967. Hashtag 1967.
interested to see Game 3 tonight between Vegas and Edmonton. Leon Draisaitl is absurd right now. He's got 13 goals.
13 freaking goals, man.
In the playoffs. Not points. Goals in the playoffs to this point. And he was dominant again on Saturday. I mean, that was a predictable response on Saturday. I thought Edmonton would come in and win, and they dominated on Saturday
against the
Golden Knights. So they're at home tonight. Series at 1-1. Ekholm continuing to play well for Edmonton, and they got a chance to go up 2-1 tonight against Vegas.
You know we're headed toward Ekholm against Tolvanen for
the Western Conference
Final. Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, that'd be something. Who are Preds fans rooting for, Edmonton or Seattle?
It's got to be. Well, Preds fans who are really, really hung up on John Hines getting fired, maybe they're rooting for Seattle, so Tolvanen continue to play and score goals.
Tolvanen wins the Conn Smythe.
Yeah. But I would say certainly Edmonton, right? Unless you just hate Edmonton, because Ekholm was such a good player here for so long.
Yeah.
Don't you have to root for that guy?
I mean, Cal Yarncroke is with Toronto. He's down 0-3. He's in a hole right now.
Yeah. Kelly Yarncroke was a very good role player, and he was very good for me in Preds Pick to Click. But, I mean, Ekholm is one of your core guys.
Nick Cousins, Florida?
Yeah, you got Cousins out there. You got, what's his name, too? Holla.
Oh, yeah.
In New Jersey? Just lighting up with the Devils, who, by the way, I'm like, yeah, this Carolina Devil series is trash. And then what did they score, about 17
last night?
Yeah.
So.
But it's still going to be trash. Kane's in five.
Yeah.
It's got to be Ekholm, right?
I think so. But I'm rooting I'll put it on record. I am rooting for the Oilers. I want to see Ekholm win a cup. And I think McDavid and Draisaitl are too good not to win a Stanley Cup at some point.
Let's see if Draisaitl can score like 25 goals in a single postseason.
It's like, geez, Leon.
I mean, McDavid had a couple the other day. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Thanks for chipping in, Connor.
Thanks, Connor.
Leon's got two more.
Thanks for making yourself known out there. Joe, big night tonight in the NHL, and this could have been a huge day here in Nashville for the NHL draft lottery. Draft lottery taking place here tonight. Obviously, the NHL draft is taking place here this summer, but – you know, the Predators, at one point, we wondered, could they be bad enough to be a lottery team and have a chance at Connor Bedard, who will have his fate sealed tonight. Whoever wins the draft lottery, there's not going to be a whole lot of suspense about who the number one overall pick is going to be heading into this draft. We're going to find out tonight where Connor Bedard is going, and it's not going to be the Nashville Predators.
It's a reminder that they did not bleep the bed for Bedard as they should have. But
Blackhawks did.
They did. And that's really what it comes down to tonight is just making sure anybody but them gets the number one pick, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much most of the Western world would agree with that.
I would agree with that. Like, you look at the odds, the favorites to land Connor Bedard are the Anaheim Ducks. So Anaheim, I think they're at 18.5%. Then it's Columbus, Chicago, San Jose, Montreal. So top five are Anaheim, Columbus, Chicago, San Jose, Montreal in that order.
So in order of who the NHL would rather see. To me, I think Columbus, you know, just because it'd be really cool for Columbus to have some kind of excitement like that. But then Montreal,
the
course,
NHL would like to see Montreal.
Yeah, the NHL would like, yeah, the league would like Montreal. Like fans around the league, though, fans around the league, Columbus, I think people are fine with Anaheim, whatever.
Yeah, San Jose, okay.
Whatever. Sure, whatever. And then, yeah, no Chicago. Keep him out of Chicago.
You know where I kind of like to see him?
Don't get all into this, a fake Chicago fan.
You know where I kind of like to see him that I think could be interesting, that if you're a Predators fan around here long enough, you wouldn't like, but they're in the East now, so it doesn't matter? The Wings. I like seeing him. They got a 5% chance end up in Detroit.
Rex Rod.
That would be fun. That would be fun, I tell you what. It's about time.
Bedard up there, Dylan Larkin up there. Just saying.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
If that happens, and I'm just going to give Stevie Y credit for somehow making it happen. He put the cold ping pong ball in there.
You know what's happening.
Took it out of the freezer.
Right? We're going to be coming in tomorrow morning, and Connor Bedard will be a Chicago Blackhawk.
Dude. Oh, make me nauseous.
It's like, oh, it's going to happen.
You went from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, and now it's Connor Bedard there.
No, they're in there. You know, they basically, they're like Punxsutawney Phil pops his head up every 30 years, and that's where they're in the downstretch, and they need to stay there.
By the way, there's some different odds that could happen tonight. The most likely, I think, announcement tonight and scenario for the Predators is they'll probably end up at 15, would have to be my guess, but I think they can move up as high as 5. So they can go as high as 5 tonight, but they're probably going to end up around 15, 16, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Scott Shelbyville says, no, Joe, we want Edmonton out of the playoffs. The number one pick we get for Ekholm is better. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Well, at this point, I guess, but you're still in the 20s at this point. So
yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be great,
It's not going to be a great pick.
So just go ahead and root for Matias.
That does it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have Chase and Michelle with Michelle and Junie coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.